Thank you. Good evening and welcome to this, the first public concert of Irish Week. My name is Tom Mann. I'm the president of Davis-Nelkins College. And on behalf of all of you who are our guests this evening, I'm pleased to welcome you. We're pleased to have our Augusta friends, new and returning. We're also pleased to welcome members of the local Elkins, Randolph County communities, and people from surrounding areas who support these concerts. I hope while you're on our campus this week that all of you enjoy our facilities and that you enjoy the warm spirit of camaraderie that characterizes Davis and Elkins College. Welcome to our campus. Hope you enjoy your week, and I especially hope you enjoy this evening's concert.
Well, good evening to you all, and welcome to the 18th annual series of concerts here at Irish Week in Augusta. And I'm Mick Maloney, and I'm going to be saying things about the very distinguished cast of artists that we have here tonight. And we're also going to have an Irish concert on Thursday night as well, so hope you all come back to that too. And as usual, we're going to give a display of the various different kinds of Irish performing arts, music, singing, and dancing. And we have some of the finest musicians, singers, and dancers on either side of the Atlantic here over the next couple of days. Before we start, I have to make the usual announcement that there are no cameras allowed at all, no camera shots, and no tape recorders either. And that's kind of a standard announcement we have every year. We have a tradition here of starting off our concerts with one of the oldest and most distinctive instruments in Irish music, the Irish or Celtic harp. Of course, the harp was a wonderful instrument going back many hundreds of years and indeed thousands of years in Irish life. It was a very, very important instrument in Gaelic society. But then the harpers fell upon hard times in the 17th century. There were only a few of them left at the end of the 18th century, and they were convened together in Belfast under the auspices of a very enlightened group of people who called themselves the United Irishmen, and they adopted at that time the harp as the symbol for the new and united Ireland that they saw in the future. And the motto of the United Irishmen was that the harp was newly strung and shall be free. But unfortunately, the harp disappeared from Irish cultural life for nearly a century and a half, but happily in the last 40 years or so, it's been revived, and now it's back in the center of the culture once more. And it's more than a musical instrument, of course, in Ireland. We're the only country in the world that has a harp on our currency, and I believe we're the only country as well that has a harp as our official national symbol. We're very delighted to have one of the great harpers in Irish music in America to open the concert for us, and she originally comes from the Lehigh Valley area, from the town of Bethlehem. Please make welcome Carol Thompson.
Thanks, it's wonderful to be back here yet one more time. I'm just gonna check this. You've all heard, well, a lot of you have heard my story by now. This is not my harp. My harp blew up about 2 weeks ago. And so I called the maker up and I said, well, what are you gonna do about it? So he said, well, there's a lady in a town, in your town, that's gonna get one of my harps in about 10 days. So I said, okay. So he called her up and he told her that she had to lend me her brand new harp. And so she called me up and she said, you know, I really don't want to do this. But she said, because it's you, I'll do it. And I said, well, thanks. And I really don't want to take it either, because it's brand new and it's not broken in and I have never played it before. But anyway, here it is. And it has a pretty good sound, but it's just not what I'm used to, if you know what I mean. Any of you who play instruments, it's kind of... Anyway, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to play... Uh-oh, we're in trouble already. Oh. This was supposed to happen back there. Just a minute now. Thank you. Well, they only give you so many minutes up here, and I don't want to spend it all tuning. The first tune I want to play is a tune by a harper named David Murphy, and he was a contemporary of Turlough O'Carolan, and they were also bitter enemies. They often wound up at the same house with the same patron, and they fought a lot about who was the better player. David Murphy had gotten a swelled head from going to France and playing for Louis XIV, who gave him a lot of money and swanky new clothing. So he came back and he was all full of himself. And they had a big battle of the harps at the Burke Castle, which is, it might have been in Mayo, I'm not sure. The tune is called Lord Mayo. And as a result of that fight, David Murphy was thrown out and banished from the castle. And he came back a year later at Christmas time, broke and penniless, and I'm assuming he lost all those nice clothes. And he begged to be taken back under the protection of the Burke family. And the assumption is that he was accepted. Of course, what's interesting is he was supposedly a very fine composer. And this is the only tune that I know of that remains of his playing. So it's called Lord Mayo.
Thank you.
Thanks. One thing I usually do when I'm here is miss a few levers in my eagerness to play my set for you. So this time I've tuned this harp differently, and I hope this time I don't make that same mistake. But for those of you that don't know, to play the harp, you have to, when you change keys, you have to move levers up and down that are on, for those of you who are over there, they're over here. And sometimes there are quite a few to move. So because I have this brand new harp, first of all, I've chosen pieces that don't need a whole lot of levers moved. And secondly, I've tuned it differently, so I have even fewer levers to move, which is pretty good. My second tune I'm going to play is, it's a slip jig at a fairly comfortable speed. It's called O'Farrell's Welcome to Limerick, and it's a pipe tune. And it's a tune that's part of a manuscript, I think, from, I hope I'm right, the 1750s. Uh-oh, I almost did the wrong thing, see? Make it simple and then... Oh, that's wrong tune. It's very confusing. It really is, and you know, the other thing that happens is as I sit here, of course, I can see it. I can see all you over there, you know. And also I can see all these little red marks on the floor. You know, mic one, mic two. And there's white ones too, and things. So it's interesting to play your instrument and see all these other things going on over there. It's a little confusing, I must say. This final tune I'm going to play, I'm really checking these levers again. I hate when I start and it's wrong, and there's a horrible note. It's called Lament for Owen Rua, and I don't know what. I used to know something about it because I recorded it for my upcoming CD that's going to come out in March of 2000. And my friend Darcy Fair, who's a real fine scholar, she wrote the liner notes. And so she wrote them, and I forgot what she wrote. I was trying desperately all day to remember about Owen Rua. And maybe somebody later in the program will remember and they'll tell you, like I bet Nick knows. So I'll just play the slow air.
And harp playing there for Carl Thompson, who currently lives in New Jersey and has been a regular here at Augusta for many years. Well, I talked a little bit earlier about the United Irishmen, and the harp is, of course, indelibly associated with the vision of the United Irishmen for a free United Ireland where there would be a place for all traditions, all religions, all cultures. And that's a vision that hopefully is going to sustain us over the next couple of years as the peace process continues in the north of Ireland. And a lot of records were put out last year commemorating the 200th anniversary of the 1798 rebellion, which was the tragic culmination of the activities of the United Irishmen. Started off as parliamentary, ended up as a military defeat. A lot of records were put out of the various songs, and there have been hundreds of songs written on the theme of Irish resistance to British rule over the years, and of the scores of records put out last year, by far the finest record was from Frank Hart, the first year of liberty. And it received rave reviews on both sides of the Atlantic, and indeed it was just the latest in a grand series of records put out by Frank over the years. And he continues to be, of course, an inspiration to all of us in Irish music and song. He lives in Chapel Isle, very close to Dublin, but he has travelled around the countryside for many years collecting songs. And he's known indeed as the man of songs in Ireland, or sometimes known simply as the great one, Mr. Frank Hart.
Lately I've been singing songs which I haven't sung for years, and they're what we class at home as Irish-American songs, and for a long time they were kind of the butt of humour because of their sentimentality. However, lately I've been listening to my cousins that I discovered up in Boston, who arrived here to find that they had to establish themselves as Irish people. They left behind them a way of life completely alien to that one that they arrived at in America. They found that they were no longer individuals as such, but just anonymous people in the great vastness of New York. And these were people, as I was saying today, whose neighbor would be somebody living maybe 4 miles away, and whom they knew intimately, and who knew them by name, and who knew their people before them. And so these songs came about this great loneliness that they experienced here in a country where nobody spoke their name. And so the songs came back. But of late, I must say, I have a great affection for those who made it for the rest of us Irish here in America, and who took the brunt of it all, of the known Irish need apply, and overcame it all, to the extent that John Kennedy culminated as president. He was a culminating point of Irish development in America when he became president. And unfortunately, of course, we lost one of the Kennedys last week. This is a song called The Old Bog Road. Again, I was plagued by the curse of starting in the wrong key. And when you sing unaccompanied, you don't know whether you're in the right key until you hit the highest note, and then it's too late. And I thought I had it solved, but it came back again today, so we'll try. I've been known to start in several keys. My feet are here on Broadway, this blessed harvest morn. And oh, the ache that's in them for the spot where I was born. My weary hands are blistered from working cold and heat. And oh, to swing a scythe today through a field of Irish wheat. Had I the chance to wander back or own a king's abode, it soon I'd see the hawthorn tree on the old bog road. When I was young and restless, my mind was ill at ease, through dreaming of America and gold beyond the seas. Oh, sorrow, take their money, it's hard to get that same. And what's the world to any man when no one speaks his name? I've had my day and here I am, building bricks by load, along 3,000 miles away from the old bog road. My mother died last springtime, when Ireland's fields were green, and the neighbor said her waking was the finest ever seen. There were snowdrops and primroses piled up beside her bed, and Ferns Church was crowded when the funeral mass was said. And there was I on Broadway, building bricks by load, when they carried out her coffin down the old bog road. A life's a weary puzzle, past finding out by man. I'll take each day for what it's worth and do the best I can. Since no one cares a rush for me, what need is there to moan? I'll go my way and draw my pay and smoke my pipe alone. Each human heart must bear its lot, though bitter be the load. So God be with you, Ireland, and the old bog road.
Thanks very much.
So far, so good. One up, one to go. Over the years, Mick and I have been coming here a long time now. And we've seen many political changes in Ireland over the years that we've come here. And we have sung about the political changes as they occurred. We have sung songs here on the Bloody Sunday killings in Derry. We have sung songs here on the hunger strikes in Derry. Or in Longcash. And we've sung songs about politicians, and we've sung songs about hopes for Irish freedom, and we've sung songs about hopes for peace in Ireland. And each year we say, when you go away, remember that Ireland is still on the point, I believe, of acquiring a freedom with justice and honour in the north of Ireland. It should have happened last week, but the unionists again refused to treat their fellow citizens as equals and walked out of the situation. Now, George Mitchell, God bless him, is back again, and hopefully we may pull it together in September. It has to happen. We can't keep killing ourselves forever. I'll sing a song. I've sung no political songs this week. I'll sing this one. It was a song that was written when we got the freedom that we have, and the first government of Ireland, the Dáil in Dublin, was called. And as they called the roll for the members who should have been there, the reply was Fuí Glasnán Eol, which meant that they were under lock in British prisons. And as they called out the names, most of them were in jail. So there was a man that, at that first meeting of the Dáil, he went home and he wrote this song about the men who came out in Easter week 1916 and gave us the freedom which we have today. And hopefully, as I say, the unfinished business will be finished this year with a bit of luck. As down the glen one Easter morn, through a city fair rode I. There armed bands of the marching men in squadrons did pass me by. No pipe did hum, no battle drum did sound out its loud tattoo, but the Angelus bell or the Liffey swell rang out through the foggy dew. Right proudly high over Dublin town they flung out the flag of war. 'Twas far better to die 'neath an Irish sky than at Suvla or Sudelbar. And from the plains of Royal Meath brave men came hurrying through, While Britannia's Huns with their long-range guns sailed into the foggy dew. But the night fell black and the rifles' crack made perfidious Albion reel. Through that leaden hail, seven tongues of flame did shine o'er the lines of steel. And by each shining blade a prayer was said that to Ireland our sons would be true. And when morning broke, still the green flag shook out its folds in the foggy dew. It was England bade our wild geese go, that small nations might be free. But their lonely graves are by Suvla's waves on the fringe of the great North Sea. Oh, had they died by Pierce's side, or had fought along with brave Cahal Bru, their names we would keep where the Fenians sleep, neath the shroud of the foggy dew. But the bravest fell, and the requiem knell rang out mournfully and clear for those who died that Easter tide in the springtime of the year, whilst the world did gaze with deep amaze at those fearless men and few who bore the fight that freedom's light, it might shine through the foggy dew. As back through that glen I roamed again, my heart with a grief was sore. For I parted then with those gallant men I ever will see no more. And to and fro in my dreams I go, and I'll kneel and I'll say a prayer for you. For slavery fled, oh, you gallant dead, when you fell in the foggy dew.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Of announcements here. Special thank you to Jojo's Flowers for the plants on stage for all the concerts. Let's hear it for Jojo. I'm also asked to tell you to be sure to check out all the silent auction items in the lobby and just outside the auditorium here, and you can bid through the end of intermission at the Thursday concert, and there are some great items available out there. The grand prize for the week is an evening in the company of Frank Hart. And second prize, of course, is a week in the company of Frank Hart. And all sorts of setups going on here because we have a great group of musicians, and they're going to close out the first half, bring us right up to intermission. Some of the most distinguished and indeed colourful musicians in the Irish music scene in America. In no particular order, I'm going to have Albert Alfonso, a very reclusive individual from Dallas, Texas, who would, I suppose, represent the Celtic-Cuban connection in Irish Week. and that has many manifestations. He's going to be playing the Bowron, and we're going to have one of the great fiddlers in Irish music. He comes from the northern part of New Jersey, and he studied under one of the great teachers in Irish music in this century, Martin Mulvihill. Back in Ireland, people would have learned in the old days fairly informally from, you know, from friends and family and neighbors, and that's the way the music was passed on for the most part. But here in America, with people scattered throughout urban America, sometimes people learned in a different way, and even though they learned by ear, there were some music schools in the recent past, the Maureen Glynn School of Music in Brooklyn and the Martin Mulvihill School of Music in the Bronx. And Martin, the late Martin Mulvihill, a great fiddle player from West Limerick, the father of Brendan Mulvihill, who's been here many years at Augusta, one of the great fiddlers in Irish music. And Martin had a school in the Bronx, and one of his great pupils was Willie Kelly from northern New Jersey. And Willie's been coming down here teaching at Irish Week for several years now. And he's going to be part of the group, a wonderful old-style fiddle player, very subtle, wonderful traditional style. There's going to be on the piano one of the great piano players in Irish music. The piano gets into Irish music not in Ireland, but indeed in this country, in New York City, when some of the greatest recordings ever were made of Irish music back in the 1920s. The piano makes an appearance because a lot of the people, the A&R people for the record companies, liked having the piano sound. The musicians liked it as well. It was a part of Irish music in the dance halls. And the piano starts to figure in Irish music, starting from New York and then working its way back to Ireland. And one of the great piano players in Irish music of this century is a man called Felix Dolan, and his son, Brendan Dolan, a wonderful piano player and also a fine flute player. He's been here last year and also is here this year. He's going to be playing in this group. We have one of the great accordion players in Irish music in America, and he grew up in Brooklyn, and he studied originally under a great accordion player from County Galway, from Tina, a man called Sean McGlynn, tragically killed in New York in the 1980s. And Billy carries on that wonderful style, developed his own style, of course, as well, one of the great musicians in Irish music in America, All-Ireland accordion champion, of course, as well. Living currently in the Baltimore area, and he's been here since the very, very first year of Irish Week, 18 years ago with Augusta. And then this group is going to be rounded off by one of the great figures in Irish music, one of the most inspirational figures indeed in Irish music of this century. It's very, very, very common to find Irish music these days just about everywhere, and for a long time that wasn't so. I suppose it's the flavour of the month all over the world now, but for many, many years, it was very unfashionable in Ireland and even more unfashionable in Irish American communities to play the beautiful old traditional music. And nowadays we get the chance to play in places like this. We get a lot of feedback and affirmation for our music. But for many, many years, the music was kept alive just for the love of it by people like Mike Rafferty, who came over from East County Galway in 1949, a great flute player playing in a beautiful leisurely style of music, which is associated with the East Galway tradition. And a real kind of the wellspring of the older styles of music that really have sustained us all, and they're the heart of the whole tradition. And they're going to be joined by two wonderful dancers, Mick Mulkern, born in Scotland, living in County Meath currently, wonderful set dance teacher and a set dancer, and also a practitioner of Shan Nós dancing, an older form of Irish step dancing, which is very much associated with the County of Galway. And he'll be joined by a surprise guest for the evening, Malky Rosenfeld, who dances in the Cape Breton style. So please make welcome Mick Mulcair, Malky Rosenfeld, Brendan Dolan, Albert Alfonso, Billy McComiskey, Willie Kelly, and the mighty Raff, Mike Rafferty.
Thank you very much. Well, them two jigs, the first one is called Pauline O'Neill Fancy. She's a great flute player and fiddle player as well in New York City. She got married and she kind of gave up on her music, but I got good news recently that she's going to be back playing again. Gives me a great feeling. And the second one is called The Devil's Danced Around the Piper. Good heavens, he had enough of problems. So them are the two jigs, and so we're going to continue on with whatever. Two reels. The first one is Last Night's Fun, and the second one is called Irish American. And Last Night's Fun, we have fun every night, seemingly. So anyway, we're going to play them two reels for you. Thank you very much. Thank you.